Coming up on today's show, Jaguar could go 100% pure EV. 45% of Norway's car sales are now full electric, and Tesla's Powerwall gets an update. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. In fact, wherever you are in the world, welcome to EV News Daily. Saturday, the 13th of October 2018, it's Martin Lee here, and I've been through every EV story today because you haven't got time to. Well, thank you to myev.com. They help make this show. They've built the first marketplace specifically for electric vehicles. It's all free. You can buy and sell on there as well. Maybe you've got a car to sell, or you're looking to buy a used EV, or just learn and research. It's all available at myev.com. In fact, that was us, except not using the website because it's not here in the UK. But that was us buying a used EV. Lots of people have been saying, what's the latest with your wife's car? Give me an update. I've not wanted to fill you in every single day. It arrived today. So a used Renault Zoe, 22 kilowatt hour. It's 2 years old. She wanted it in white, and I totally agree. It looks lovely in the driveway today. We got it this morning at 10, and we got it from a main dealer, actually, in the end, the main Renault dealer down here in Dorset, because as we found out a couple of weeks ago, thank you very much to a very good friend of this podcast who tipped me off. In fact, a couple of people tipped me off, but the very first one to tip me off about this was Will Adams. Now, Will Adams, he works at DSG, which is in Morecambe here in the UK. Now, DSG can sort you out for a range of cars, but they are somewhat experts in selling Renault Zoes. They sell a lot of them, and I've been picking his brains. It's many hundreds of miles from where I live. So I said, Will, do you mind if we don't end up buying the car from you? Because it's a long way. And he said, absolutely fine, but how can we help? If you use the forums in the UK, he is Badger in Black, by the way. So thank you very much. Also, EV Nick, who also sells cars for a living. But Nick's been helping me out with some advice, too, about how to use the thing for her. She'll be driving it Monday to Friday for her job. And we ended up buying it a couple of weeks ago from a main dealer, because here in the UK, this may be of interest to you, by the way, if you're thinking of buying one. Here in the UK, Renault have just started doing, as of a few days ago, a £1,000 deposit contribution on used Renault Zoes. So it was advertised for £6,900. Maybe it was advertised slightly higher, them knowing that. I don't know. It seemed like a pretty good price to me. It was in the ballpark. Maybe it was worth £6,500. But Renault put in £1,000. So it cost us £5,900. So, and there's a few places down here on the South Coast that have been recommended to me. But we ended up going for the main dealer that's Renault, that's about 3 miles from where we live, which we weren't going to do because they're obviously, main dealers are very expensive. We ended up doing that deal because we got £1,000 off. And that's a lot of money anyway. But on a car worth that, £1,000 makes a huge difference. So a battery lease, obviously, at that price, she doesn't do many miles. So £49 a month battery lease on the Renault Zoe. We have joined the Renault Zoe club, and we are both very happy. I'm happy because she used to make me go put diesel in her car because she hated the smell of it and putting diesel in. So I'd often get home from work and she'd say, you know what, the car needs some diesel. Brilliant. I'll go and put some diesel in for you. Her car is still sitting out the front of the house. We now need to get rid of that. We thought we'd have a slight crossover period in case of any problems. So, you asked for the updates. There's the update. Mrs. Lee is now the proud owner of a 2-year-old Renault Zoe, and she could not be happier. We're going to start with some news today about an EV that I haven't driven, but my dad has, and that makes me insanely jealous. A week or so ago, there was an EV event in East Anglia. So you know I'm down on the south coast of the UK. He's in East Anglia, and it was at an airfield. And he went along because he's as interested as I am about how we all move around in the future in 10, 15, 30 years. And they had lots of cars on display, and they had one of the cars was the new Jaguar I-Pace. And he had a go. And I gather he enjoyed it. I gather he enjoyed it quite a lot, to the point where they were quite grateful they weren't on public roads. That's all I'll say. They were on private land. And apparently, it's quick. No, apparently, it's really quick. Took him a while to stop grinning. And a report today says that the management of Jaguar Land Rover could be about to make some big, bold decisions for the Jaguar brand itself. And that is to make it electric only. There are certainly plenty of people who say car makers should be doing things like this, but they aren't the ones, let's face it, with thousands of people on the payroll and signing the checks at the end of the day. It's easier said than done, so I have sympathy for Jaguar. I'm sure Jaguar Land Rover aren't the only manufacturer with teams of people running the numbers on batteries, production, profit margins, where to make them. Of course, all those things work inside a macro environment as well of stricter emissions kicking in here in the UK. The regulations are tightening in Europe, actually. So all of those things will be playing on their minds, and they'll be running the numbers to work out how can we be most profitable and be the most robust company making the best products. In one corner, you've got Tesla building a company from scratch around pure EVs. In the other corner, you have every other incumbent trying to manage the transition. Only a couple of years ago, they were making these big, long sort of 7 and 9 year investments in fossil technology, didn't think that EVs would take off as quick as they have done. And now they're scratching their heads going, how can we make this work? And so it's a 5 to 7 year plan, according to this report. This isn't anything official by Jaguar, by the way, at which time Jaguar's current range would be replaced by all electric models. Since the positive reaction to the I-Pace, Jaguar's had thoughts about an all-electric XJ in the pipeline, in the same segment, really, as Volkswagen Group's models like the Porsche Taycan and the Tesla Model S, that kind of car. In many ways, it's back to the future for Jaguar. Jaguar have long had a reputation since the 1960s and before for fast cars and innovation. Electric power will give you that god-level performance, and all-wheel drive, a sense of living in the future, high technology would certainly restore Jaguar's leadership in the idea of being innovative. It won't be easy for any OEM to have factories making both fossils and EVs in tandem during the transition phase. It's why I do have sympathy where I know a lot of people don't have sympathy for those that have been polluting. So maybe a bold call is what is needed. Well, the XE and the XF are 5 years away-ish, I think, from the end of their product lines. So by the mid-2020s, Jaguar would be in a position to have full electric versions of all of their fleets. Their cars are coming up for renewal around that time in terms of the model years. And even maybe Generation 2 I-Pace? What do you reckon, if they wanted? Well, coming back to my earlier point about emissions, it's a smart move to take their range, which is luxury high-end sedans, cars, and turn them electric, because it's going to reduce the fleet emissions of their parent company, Jaguar Land Rover. Now, those Land Rovers, those Range Rovers, I don't think are going to be the first ones that their buyers will want pure electric cars on. I think they want some electrification. They'll want plug-ins. They might want some 48-volt soft hybrids. I think probably plug-ins, because those big, expensive Range Rovers that you waft along. Oh, I love wafting in a Range Rover. I haven't wafted for a long time in a Range Rover, but you do, right? It's luxury. And electric motors allow that up to a certain distance. So I think they'll put some batteries in those cars, but they won't want to turn them all electric. So do it with your Jaguar brand. I think two things are at play here. If you want my personal opinion, if I may, I think the I-Pace has had a very positive, strong reaction, dare I say, better than they expected, and maybe better than the Audi e-tron and the Mercedes EQC. Fans of those brands will disagree with me. I've not seen any negative articles really about the I-Pace. People have compared it to Tesla inevitably and talked about, well, where's your supercharging network? But ignore that. Chances are the bosses of Jaguar Land Rover have seen all that positive publicity and been comparing the brand bump they've had against the kind of reviews of the fossil cars they sometimes get. And Jaguar's been on a bit of a roll recently. Their design's been spot on, but Jaguar's been through phases where reviews haven't been complimentary. Jaguar, I think, are aspirational again because of the I-Pace. Also, Jaguar Land Rover bosses might have waited to see if the Model 3 killed off Model S sales. They haven't. That question's been answered. Model S and Model X sales continue robust sales at the high end of the market. Luxury buyers are voting with their wallets and don't want the Model 3. They don't mind spending more. So why not take a piece of the pie? Well, finally, I'll mention Volvo. You know that they've committed to going full electrified, not full electric, with batteries already. And their brand fortunes definitely took a turn upwards when they made that announcement. Halo cars like the Polestar 1 doing a big job for the brand. Let me know what you think about Jaguar going all electric with their cars. Good, bad or ugly, let me know in the comments. You can email anytime. It's hello@evnewsdaily.com. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, news from China today about their car sales. Last month in September, China's car sales fell the most in nearly 7 years. Last month, stoking concerns the world's biggest auto market could contract for the first time in decades, amongst cooling economic growth and a trade war, according to Reuters UK. One of the startling stats, which bucks the trend, is that sales of new energy vehicles, a category that comprises pure EVs and plug-ins, remain strong. In a market that went down, car sales going down in China, new energy vehicles went up 55% in September. Faster than a month earlier, that took new energy sales up in the first 9 months of the year to 721,000 vehicles, up 81% from the same period the year before. So the car market is really struggling in China. With those makers like Toyota, GM, Peugeot, Ford, having some pretty bad board meetings, I imagine, at the moment. All their sales are facing some headwinds in China. EV sales, though, holy moly, going through the roof. Well, Hyundai's Kona EV sales are going through the roof in Norway. And Thomas Schmidt, Hyundai Europe's chief operating officer, said this, and I quote, "By the end of the year, we will deliver 11,000 units of the Hyundai Kona in Europe. Given the order level, we need to get the from Korea three times as many cars if we want to reduce the waiting time." Wow. Three times as many cars are needed just to bring the waiting list down. For customers, currently about 1 year, down to 3 or 4 months. We make money in Europe, but as all other manufacturers, we have a challenge that we don't make money on EVs. The scale is not there. There is no financial incentive, but the incentive is brand reputation, end quote. Let's pick that apart a little bit. Current waiting list a year for the Kona. Down to 3 or 4 months would mean that Korean production has to triple. They don't make any money on EVs, but they're doing it for the brand. Wow. I thought they would be at least a little bit profitable, but a fascinating admission. That 7,000 number, by the way, that we've talked about before, the reservations that are in Norway alone. So 11,000 in Europe, 7,000 in Norway is the split. That is equal to twice the total number of all Hyundai cars sold in Norway last year. That is equal to twice the number of Hyundai cars sold in 2017. Well, I've checked here in the UK, and the last time I looked on the click-to-buy configurator, it was 20 weeks, if you don't mind compromising on certain colours and specs. That was the shortest I could get it down to. Now, all of them, last time I checked, said 40 weeks. Wait. On my recent trip to Norway, I saw firsthand the effect of generous incentives for EVs. Much lower taxes, fossil fuels, fossil cars taxed very highly. You can drive in bus lanes, free parking, free road tolls, and the benefits go on. Well, Lee Ki-sang is the head of Hyundai's Eco Technology Department Centre. He said the company now has two battery development suppliers, which I didn't know. This is new information to me. As well as LG Chem, they've now added SK Innovation, and that is important because it means they get to speed up how many batteries they get to put in their cars. SK Innovation is going to start production at the end of the year for the Hyundai Kona. According to Automotive News Europe, giving Hyundai more flexibility to adjust their production, Lee Ki-sang hinted at possible solutions to the scale issue. Hyundai's plan is to introduce a platform for pure EVs. As the volume of each EV is relatively small, by concentrating them on one platform, we might hope to make some money, he said. And I can't believe they don't make any money on the Hyundai Kona. And I would presume that the Kia e-Niro or Niro EV, depending on where you live in the world, is going to be the same. I'm really surprised. There's a full link to that article in the show notes. Talking about Norway, a tweet from Evind Arven says this: Norway car sales in September this year, it was a record month for pure electric vehicles. The BEVs are now at 45%, diesels 12%, and the new WLTP test procedure has been an influencing factor. A rolling three-month share has the BEVs on 32%. Well, Norway's a very small car market, but it's remarkable what they've achieved and are achieving. Looking at the rolling three-month average for car sales in Norway, in 2011, let's do a little historical journey back. In 2011, which is a blink of an eye in car sales and product planning, diesel was 78.2% of new car sales in Norway. 78.2. Petrol was around 18. Battery and hybrids together, batteries, plug-ins, hybrids, all combined, about 4%. This is 7 years ago. Fast forward to today. Last month in Norway, diesel had fallen to 12%. Petrol has gone up a little bit. Sorry, down a little bit to 16%. Hybrids without a plug were at 11. Hybrids with a plug at 15. And pure electric cars, 45%. Imagine that. Almost half. Almost one in every two new cars rolling off the lot last month. Pure electric cars. And that does back up what I told you when I went to Norway for a week to have a look round. And I didn't. I went to several different places, and it was incredible, the infrastructure and just how common it is. Like, you just walk down the street, and just as you're looking at the buildings and looking at things, you know, when you're a tourist, you just hear that noise of EVs constantly driving past. And then when a fossil car comes past, you're like, whoa, hey, what's that noise? It's amazing. It's great. I would recommend it for anybody if you fancy a trip. Well, Mark Kane at Inside EVs has also been looking at some numbers, but this time to do with Tesla. The tiny details that the Inside EVs can pick out from a story, all the numbers that are buried, and then they can just pick them out, and it tells a really important story. According to the auto industry analyst Matthias Schmidt, who I follow on Twitter and rate enormously highly, Tesla sold 26% more cars than Porsche last quarter. Quarter three results: Tesla sold 83,500 cars, Porsche sold 66,000 cars, Jaguar 42,000. Wow. A full link to that article in the show notes. Let's talk about Mercedes, by the way. You know I'm a fan of Mercedes plug-in cars. Daimler could be the first car maker to offer a combustion engine car that does 100 kilometres, which is 62 miles, on pure electric range. Because remember, the Polestar 1's got a big battery, but not on sale yet. When it launches, the Mercedes-Benz GLE. Now, the GLE is going to be a plug-in hybrid in the second half of next year. According to Christian Hetzner, who I follow as well on Twitter, he says that Daimler is introducing partial electrification in every single car it will offer, starting with a 48-volt mild hybrid, the soft hybrid stuff, as a minimum. In addition, they're going to start offering plug-in hybrids for every combustion car they have, from the luxury, the flagship S-Class, down to the A-Class. Well, the incoming CEO, Ola Källenius, said this, and I quote, "We are now in a generation where we are switching over from 30-kilometre hybrids to 50-kilometre hybrids. The GLE will be the first car with 100-kilometre range on the plug-in on the WLTP cycle," end quote. So, I know 50 kilometres is enough for the Chinese EV credit system, but even 100 kilometres, which is 62 miles, won't be enough for the new UK grant, which I told you about yesterday. They have raised that to 70 miles. If your plug-in hybrid doesn't do 70 miles on EV power alone, doesn't qualify for any kind of incentive after the 12th of November this year. It's changing really quickly after yesterday's news. I wonder if there'll be a couple of meetings at Daimler and going, you know what, let's add a bit to the battery. Or maybe the UK is not that much of an important market. Maybe China is way more important. China is way more important, but who knows? Well, Tesla, back to Tesla, they've been increasing the specs of their popular Powerwall system to account for the new features they've added over the course of 2018 and additional features and hardware the company's going to bring to market next year, according to a Clean Technica piece of breaking news that I saw today. Effective as of today, October 12th, the new pricing of the energy products they sell in US dollars, the Powerwall has gone up $800 to $6,700. The Gateway has gone up $400. You need the Gateway, by the way. It's not optional. To $1,100. Installation, that can vary, right? From $1,100 to, well, how long is a piece of string, depending on the complexity, your electrical system, etc. Tesla, says Clean Technica, Tesla's poured some love into its Powerwall Gateway. Well, the Gateway, which I didn't know a lot about because it was previously not really mentioned that much, provides the connection to the internet for the Powerwall. It includes a full refresh of the entire product that's going to see the Gateway getting its own little enclosure. So when it's on the wall, you'll be able to see it. Nice Tesla branding and styling. Installations of the Powerwall have included the Gateway, but the hardware, it's all been locked away in this kind of generic grey utility box. You didn't really know it was a Tesla thing inside. Adding a bit of Tesla's style to it will definitely improve the aesthetics and the Powerwall installations after the refresh. Well, if you're not already seeing it online, I think I saw a tweet that Robert at the Fully Charged show is going to do a 1-year review of his power wall. Maybe it's up. Like, maybe I saw a tweet from Dan, Fully Charged, saying it's coming or it's online now. I should have checked. Sorry, I'm rubbish. I think once the power wall's got that firmware upgrade recently, it means you can store. What that allowed you to do was store cheap electricity off peak time of use tariff overnight, and then that product got very interesting to me. Haven't got solar, haven't got any PV, that's the next plan. Now my wife's car's in the driveway, and the next thing is going to be, because we've just moved house, the charger, and then, it's a long story by the way, I'll fill you in, I've got some news about that. There, it's good news by the way, and then it's going to be a little bit of PV on the roof. Thank you very much to myev.com for setting this week's question of the week. Keep your comments coming in on a particularly timely question. What incentives are available where you live? It's all changing in the UK. What incentives are available where you live? Which ones have you taken advantage of? If you haven't got an EV yet, which ones would you like? And which ones are worthwhile at a local and a national level? Thank you very much to 98 patrons. Ah, we're two away from the 100. 98 patrons of the podcast, whose generosity means that we get to make the show. Thank you very much to my friend Phil. Phil Roberts from Electric Future. He is a premium partner of this podcast, and we're looking forward to working with him very closely in the future. Hello to Cesar Trujillo, a partner of the show. Hello to David Allen and Sasha Pallenberg, all partners of the podcast. And hello to Ashley Hill, who's an executive producer, along with the rest of these names. Arid Gear Skullsveen. I'm yet to get an email from Ariel to say, you're not saying my name right. Bjard Fuchstack, Brian Weatherall, who's new. Chris Benson, Chris Hopkins, Darren Bird, David Partington. Oh, who I connected with on LinkedIn this week. David Prescott, Damian Davis, John Bailey, John H. Mayer III, John Timmis, Kevin Mayerson, Louis Hopkin, Marcel Lohman, Marcel Ward, Martin Croft, Matthew Ellis, Matthew Gruby, Neil E. Roberts, Paul Seeger Smith, Philippe Calvé, Rod James, Scott Callahan. I don't know where I was going with that. Scott Callahan? No, Scott Callahan. And the Limousine Line in Sydney. Thank you very much for your support. There are 263 episodes online for free on the places you get podcasts. And if you want to leave a little review, that'd be amazing. The Patreon page is patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. And on the socials, just search for EV News Daily. You'll find me. Have a wonderful Saturday. I'll catch you tomorrow.